views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant, Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you awaken to your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. And by doing so, help the whole planet shift to a more peaceful and loving way of being. Now, my guest today is an amazing woman named Clementina Marie Giovannetti. Clementina was born with an extraordinary gift of sight and profound wisdom regarding all spiritual matters. She is an acknowledged authority on dream interpretation. She's an intuitive, a spiritual maverick, spiritual mentor, gifted healer, and host of Spiritual Wisdom TV. For nearly 40 years, Clementina has graced the airwaves nationwide, sharing her extraordinary gifts and insights. She is a national best-selling author of books like A Guide to Spiritual Interpretations of Your Dreams, as well as Miracles and a Prophetic Message from an Angel, and her most recent, Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a Past Life Memoir. Now, her website is spiritualwisdomtv.com in case you want to find out more about her. But don't go there yet because I don't think you're going to want to miss this show. A few months ago, I received an email that I wasn't quite sure what to do with. It was from Clementina and it started with a paragraph that read something like this. Imagine one morning looking into your bathroom mirror and finding someone other than yourself looking back. That's exactly what occurred to Clementina Marie Giovannetti one morning as she stood in front of her own bathroom mirror to find her own image had somehow mysteriously vanished. Now, my brain immediately suggested I delete the email and move on with my busy day. But my heart tugged at me to keep reading. So I did. And then I did an internet search on this mysterious woman. And within an hour, I had responded telling her I would love to talk. So she set up an appointment and she sent me a copy of her memoir. Now, Clementina's story is unbelievable in many ways. The abuse, the hatred, the horrific experiences in her own home, the angel visits and assignments that she was given from such a young age, being guided to a place to live only to have the KKK out to get her, her incredible ability to heal animals. And that's not even talking about her meeting up with Jesus in her past life. So it's pretty surreal. Yet it's also too incredible to make up. Now, when we spoke about a month later, I could feel her beautiful, open, and sincere energy, and I knew I absolutely had to have her on the Vibrant, Powerful Mom Show. But one episode was not going to be enough. So we decided to do two interviews, one today focusing on Clementina's jaw-dropping memoir, and then the second one in a week where we plan to tap into her incredible knowledge and spiritual awareness to discuss how the topic of assignments from spirit actually apply to you and your child. So without further ado, Clementina, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
And thank you, Debbie, so much. Wow. I can't wait now to hear about the show.
I am just thrilled that you're here sharing with us today. And, you know, I recognize that was quite a long intro, so I really want to jump right into the book and get us sharing on that. But I am just thrilled to have you here. So why don't we start with chapter 2, where you talk about human illusions? Can you expand on what that is?
Absolutely. As you mentioned in your intro, I was born with a very profound gift of sight, meaning that I was able to see through all of the illusions on Earth, the artificial reality that some people even refer to as they call it the Matrix. And one simple illusion that I talk about in the book that I think definitely relates to your audience, your moms, is in this lifetime, I chose to incarnate in a woman's body, a female body. Mm-hmm. And I can't even begin to tell you, Debbie, although I do share in the book, what a challenge that was. It was just so shocking, so perplexing, that because my soul decided to incarnate in a little girl's body this time, I was basically perceived as worthless, of no value. And my mom and dad, absolutely Italian descent, Roman Catholic, I mean, just could not be bothered at all, would not necessarily rearing me as their young child or daughter, but also then the sexual assault began at such a young age with my father and my grandfather. Basically, I was just a sex toy. I was a product, and they could do whatever they wanted to do with me. But the other illusions, as I left home at a very early age because of the abuse, and I was born and raised in what people refer to as the ghetto, the Chicago Projects, Cabrini Green, and on the street were all the gang members, mostly of African-American descent and Hispanic descent. And you could just, oh my God, you could cut the tension and the fear in the air. And so now I was not just alone seeing my own abuse, but now I was seeing the abuse and experiencing the tremendous trauma and deep fear and the hatred that so many other incarnated souls were experiencing as well, because their skin color was basically not the right color. It was black. It was brown. And it was just, why, as a young child, I could not understand why this planet, basically, this consciousness on this planet, supported such illusions. Nobody was looking at each other as a soul. Nobody was looking at each other as a brother or sister or a child of God. Everybody was looking at each other based on their human form and their human form alone.
Wow. And the value that our society had assigned to those human forms.
Yes. And starting, I mean, it's so contemporary today. When I began writing this book over a year ago, and I had to make that really difficult decision, how much did I really want to share of my own sexual abuse? I had no idea, Debbie. That's all you got to do is turn on CNN or any of the channels, yes. Right? And that's all that they're talking about now, and the Me Too movement. And I'm like, oh my God. And I just released the book a few weeks ago. And but yet a year and a half ago, I had no idea. So here we are. You know, I'm part of the Me Too movement, but I just don't get the illusions, and which causes so much division and so much deception. Because how does a soul incarnate into a human body and then of their own decision all of a sudden find themselves now that either the KKK or the white supremacy, or because they're a girl, all of a sudden now they find themselves to be a worthless yeah. individual.
Exactly. Right. You know, that is such a powerful message. And when I was reading your book, and even as I was preparing for the interview today, I was thinking about, I mean, this whole message of women being silenced, mistreated, mm-hmm. labeled as weak, you know, held back from their authentic self and so on. It really is coming to a head right now, and it's not going away. And in my heart, I have to believe that stories like yours, the whole Me Too movement, all of this stuff is coming up right now because we're finally ready, not just to hear it, but to actually do something about it.
And even though I didn't vote for Mr. Donald Trump, It is really my belief that he is doing an excellent job in giving individual souls the opportunity to really see what, in fact, they've allowed themselves, their children, and the world to become. He is a great mirror reflection. Mm-hmm. And from the time that he has been appointed our president of the United States, women have taken the streets. And women have found their voices. And we're talking teenagers, 10, 15, 20 years old, up to 80, 90-year-old women, all together, all races, all nationalities, out there in the streets saying, you're not my president. So even though, in effect, it is my opinion that he's not doing a very good job as the president of the United States, but on a soul evolution, on a the spiritual revolution, the spiritual cleansing, the spiritual awakening, he's doing a great job.
Yes.
He's waking up people every day, every day. And so here we are. And, you know, religion, which you know, because you've read the book, Debbie, I talk a great deal about religion. And it's unfortunate that I had the incredible, there are no words, blessed opportunity to meet Jesus 2,000 years ago when he was just a child and to experience his consciousness and to know him the way I did, so intimately on a soul level. But today, our modern man-made religions have got to take the responsibility of silencing the women. Because if you look at particularly the Catholic women, the Baptist, and so forth, traditional Christian religions, if you read any of their scriptures, it says the women cannot speak. The women cannot do this. They must remain submissive and obey. And so I really believe that our organized man-made religions have had a great deal of ultimate control and domination over the women. And today, women are having to just break free. They're having to really re-examine and re-evaluate exactly their belief systems and their own morals.
Yes, and it requires a connection to who they really are and that they are valuable and worthwhile because we really have internalized this much stronger message. So let's talk for a minute about the Roman Catholic Church because it comes up as a very prominent part of your book. And what I really loved about part of your story there was where you took back your power and said, hold on a minute, this is not going to happen here. So do you want to share that little piece?
Yeah, and to think, Debbie, I was only 10 years old.
I know.
It's amazing. I mean, your listening audience, you know, they're getting the drips and drabs. They really need to read the whole story.
Yes.
When I was 10 years old, Roman Catholics have a ritual that they call confirmation. And so the children, I was basically in fifth grade, we needed to, you know, go to church on a special day. And there were special people, you know, from the Roman Catholic Church that, in fact, were going to officially, through a ritual, you know, conform us. And so there I was. I was a very tall child at 10 years of age. I was at the very back. And I had already had questioned the Roman Catholic Church upside down in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I didn't know why. I didn't have conscious recall that, in fact, I knew Jesus and had met and experienced him 2,000 years prior. So this was just like a residual effect. It had been integrated in my consciousness now in this lifetime. So there I was in line, and I'm waiting for all the boys and girls to do their thing. And basically, they were required to kneel down in front of this priest who was dressed up, you know, to the deck with all kinds of handmade fabric, you know, robes and the famous hat, the cone head hat and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And he was all, and they were also required to kneel in front of him and then kiss his blessed ring. Well, when I saw that they were kissing this gigantic emerald ring, I don't know, something just didn't agree with it inside. I mean, it was like a volcanic eruption inside of my soul, you know, forbidding me to do this. And now imagine the church was, you know, filled to the brim. There was over 300 people there. Of course, my parents were there and my family was there and so forth like that. And when it came my my time to stand in front of this man, this priest. He also had two other priests behind him with these ornate staffs and so forth. And I looked into his eyes and I felt nothing. I mean, nothing. I didn't feel the presence of God. And I, you know, again, I had no conscious recall that I had experienced Jesus, but I'm thinking, man, this guy is a phony. You know, he's a fraud. He's not a representation of God on earth. And I would not kneel before him. Well, the two priests behind him didn't exactly take that very lightly. And one of the priests just took his emerald and gem, handmade carved staff. And in front of the whole entire congregation, he struck my right shoulder and demanded me kneel before him. And yes. I said, yeah, and I said, no. Well, I'm telling you, when my eyes looked and penetrated into the eyes of this special priest, he knew that I knew.
Right.
That he was not a representation of God, nor did he even know God. He never had that kind of experience. He never had that kind of connection. And the whole church was just like in disgust and awe. Like, how dare you? Who do you think you are? So needless to say.
But I just have to interject there. Disgust and awe at you.
At me.
Not at him, the fraud.
No, not at the fraud and not at the, you're right. And not, and thank you. And not at the priest for even striking a child.
Right.
He struck me.
Yeah.
That was an assault. Right. So nobody was thinking about that because everybody was just hypnotized. You know, they're in this altered reality in church. And they finally dismissed me. And I did get my certificate of confirmation, you know, like everyone else, even though it wasn't officially confirmed. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, but when I got home and all the relatives, you know, began to come into the living room of the house, I mean, it was just, oh, my God. And, of course, the beatings after all the relatives left, that was the breakthrough. My confirmation day was the first time that I packed my little belongings in a T-shirt and hit the road. And I walked out of the door of my home that night for the first time. And right. I was barely 10 years of age.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, people just have to read the book. That was just heart-wrenching. So much of the story there when the police found you, what your mom said when the police found you, all of that. It was just so heart-wrenching. But I don't want to miss this point yet. I believe that organized religion is being exposed now as something that has been ego-driven for much too long and not soul driven. And that doesn't mean all people in organized religion are bad. I don't mean that at all. But I just think that it is such an important part of this expose that is happening now that is saying, wake up, people. This is not what you came here for. this is not your leaders.
No, and this was just, there was just in the news recently an 86-year-old priest that finally was found guilty and in prison for raping and murdering one of his parishioners over, I think it was nearly 40 years ago or 50 years ago. And he had been denying it all this time. And after the event did occur, they basically, you know, knew he did it and they just sent him to another parish. And they protected him. Yeah. So there are stories like the Harvey Weinstein and the priest. They are coming out now. But imagine, you know, I was born in the 50s. To be born, having just met Jesus, having just experienced all that in a former lifetime, then I get reincarnated in a little girl's body. And really, it's like, Debbie, I couldn't help myself saying, who are these people?
Yes.
And what planet am I on?
What jumps to mind for me is the saying you hear all the time, like, are you kidding me? This can't be real. This can't be what's happening.
But yeah. But for them, it is. But
absolutely.
But for, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm thinking, why don't we use it as a springboard into your experience with the good old boys? Because I think it ties in there really nicely.
Oh, my. Well, that's another part of the story that goes back to when I met Jesus over 2,000 years ago. Apparently, beyond sharing and giving me, he seated me with his consciousness when I met him. He also seated me with the gift of healing. And, well, And as you read the book, I didn't last very long after I met Jesus. They beheaded me pretty quickly after that moment. But in this lifetime, so I died when I was 38 years of age in the former lifetime after I met him. And I was just barely turning 39 years of age in this lifetime. And I had basically been put on a journey to the middle of in a town called Blue Ridge, Texas. And I rented an old farm and so forth like that and walked into the barn. And lo and behold, I thought I was having a heart attack, but in fact, I call it really a soul attack. I catapulted totally into another dimension. And there was an angel. And in short term, she basically told me that they were returning me and that I was to heal. And I was given the gift of healing because of my tremendous faith and love of Father. And literally within minutes, when I returned to my body, people just started showing up, literally, at this godforsaken little 100-year-old farmhouse in the middle of no place on 80 acres. I didn't even have air conditioning or heating or nothing. And it was amazing because it was my experience. I'd never laid hands on anyone before and never knew when I walked into my little healing room, you know, what was going to occur. And it brought me to my knees. Now, that was a real authentic experience that did bring me to my knees over and over again. I was just beyond humbled and in awe of God allowing himself to come through me and to heal these people and to experience that consciousness, what I believe was the same similar consciousness that Jesus experienced when he was doing the healings. However, now that side of the story is going great, right? And you're like,
yes.
Wow.
And yeah, I thought it was the turning point.
Yeah, that was really great. And then when word got out about these miracles that were taking place in their little town of Blue Ridge, Texas. It's funny, there were four churches in Blue Ridge, Texas, and there were only 400 people living in Blue Ridge at the time. I was like the 401. Prior to me arriving, Debbie, they were all against each other. You know, it was like, I'm going to heaven, we're going to heaven, you're going to hell. It was that ridiculous insanity. Okay, fine. When I came to town, and I'm a stranger, right, and, you know, not born and raised there, and now all these miracles are occurring, and all these people are talking about it. Well, yeah, the born-again Christians and the saves, you know, they really basically just outright claim me to be the devil and doing the work of the devil. And no matter how many times I would remind them or refresh their mind that their own Jesus said that others will come after me and do the same thing that I'm doing and even greater things. No, it just didn't resonate. And they basically signed a petition to have me removed from their community. They got the sheriff involved. They got the KKK were showing up on my property at night. And the men were just driving and ripping up all my land behind the house. And I was getting the phone calls, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning saying, Clementina, they're not going to find you. That's it. Yeah, you're on 80 acres, but this is country, girl, you know. Yeah. And it blew my mind. You know, I never did drugs and I don't even drink. I don't even smoke. I've been a health food nut my whole life. But it's like this was like it really can blow your mind that these are the people that claim to be Christians, born again Christians. They know scriptures backwards and forwards. I mean, they've got them down. They've memorized them. Right. And then yet, when God, this was the biggest thing, you know, that I shared in my book, is that why did you send me here, God? Father, you must have known what these people were like. And of all the towns in the world, I would have followed, I would have gone anywhere you wanted me to go. Why did you choose Blue Ridge, Texas? Why? Because you obviously knew people were going to respond this way. I didn't. I was naive. I had no idea the Christians and KKK. I didn't even know the KKK were Christians prior to coming to Blue Ridge, Texas. I really thought it was more of a militia group. But once I experienced them in Blue Ridge, Texas, it was like, oh my God, you're Christians? And how many people have you lynched? How many people have you barbecued and gotten away with it because you're white? And yet they told me, but the Bible gives us the authority. And I'm like, oh my God. So
yeah, an attempt at awakening, hey?
It was an attempt. Needless to say, yeah, quite an awakening for me to experience what people refer to as Christians. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, oh my gosh, we could go on for so much longer, and I cannot believe that we are out of time. However, I do want people to know that next week, we're going to have Clementina back on the show, and we're going to be talking about her nightly vision. She would have these out-of-body experiences, and she's going to talk about them, and she's going to share the story. She's going to tell us what kinds of things we can do so that we are tuned in to our own spiritual messages and such. So I really hope people can join us next week for that. And Clementina, can you just quickly tell people where they can get your book?
Yes, I'll give my website. The books are the Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a past life memoir. Just go to www.spiritualwisdomtv.com, spiritualwisdomtv.com. And then that'll send you to everywhere else, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everywhere else.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so thank you so much, Clementina, for coming on our show today. Thank you to our listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Clementina Marie Giovannetti, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.